Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. You're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, recovery, breaking news, culture, memetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin. Anyways, today we have a very special show lined up for you guys. The hash rate continues to go up even after the price of Bitcoin continues to go down. We're going to talk about why we believe that is. Also, shout out to Blockstream. Seems like they raised $125 million US dollars to invest more into miners, into mining infrastructure. Remember, guys, the hash rate is an estimation of the amount of computational power actively mining Bitcoin. Theoretically, the higher the hash rate, the higher Bitcoin becomes to computationally attack. Now, it's getting to a point that the hash rate is so high that it's basically economically, even though it's theoretical, it's basically economically unfeasible to, you know, 51% attack the Bitcoin network. Also, very big news. It seems like the first nuclear-powered Bitcoin miners are going online in Pennsylvania. So we have the details of that as well. We also have very special guests coming on the show today. We have Jeremy from Satoshi's Journal. But before we bring him up and introduce our guest, I want to give a shout out to my awesome co-host, the always optimistic, the legendary, the one, the only. How you doing, Opti?
I'm doing good, bro. Everything is good. You know, life's good. Another day in paradise. Just happy to be here, man. It feels good. That's all I can say, man.
You got some things lined up during the culture?
Oh, we're gonna go in. We got Jeremy here from Satoshi's Journal, so we're just gonna go in on all things Satoshi's Journal today, and you know, maybe touch on what they're doing and what adoption looks like down in Nigeria today. So I mean, this is ooh, what he does. So ooh, I'm excited for this one.
Ooh, okay. Let's bring up our guest. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing just fine. How are you? How are you guys doing?
Happy to have you on the show. Where are you coming live from today?
Actually, I'm out of the States, New Mexico, and my partner Olu Washington is from Nigeria. So we've been partners for since about 7-8 months, and so through him and through all the other people that come onto our shows, we have a morning show every morning 7 to 9 Nigerian time. I've been learning a lot about Africa, so Africa is the place where it's happening, man. I mean, it's amazing, the adoption and such.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the power of Bitcoin, right? It connects. It's this common language that connects people thousands and thousands of miles away from each other. But they speak this common language, and this common language is freedom and Bitcoin. Also, very bullish on Bitcoin adoption in Africa, unlike us here and that are privileged to live in countries that have relatively stable fiat currencies. You know, the continent of Africa and the continent of South America, Jeff Booth calls it the global South, right? They don't have that privilege, right? They have state currencies or fiat currencies that suffer from sometimes double digit inflation, as is the case in Argentina. It's up to 95%, right? So for Bitcoin, for us, right, that have this financial privilege, we could sometimes see, of course, you know, we're simply Bitcoin and we're into, you know, the revolutionary aspect, the separation of money and state. But at the end of the day, right, you know, most people in the West see Bitcoin as a speculative asset, or versus in the global South, it's more out of adopting Bitcoin out of necessity, right? It's about putting food on the table because, hey, man, it's very difficult to do that if your fiat currency that you're using, as in the case with Turkey, as in the case with Lebanon, right, is, you know, has this double digit inflation. It's absolutely absurd. Could you imagine? Everyone's complaining about the price of eggs. Could you imagine the price of eggs doubling every month? That's what we're talking about. You know, that's what Bitcoin is for. That's what the use case is for. So we're going to talk about all that during the culture segment. Anyways, everybody, let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers,
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. Remember, guys, if you don't run your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. It seems like Olu, also from Satoshi's Journal, made it today. How you doing, Olu? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Simply Bitcoin. I'm so excited. So I almost forget about the show. Thanks very much.
No worries,
sorry,
man.
Well, I came late.
We're super happy to have you. We're going to talk about the adoption during the culture segment, the adoption of Bitcoin in Nigeria. Also, right, the Nigerian government is attempting to launch their CBDC in order to maintain their privilege of being able to create money for free that everybody else has to work for. So very excited, Olu, that you joined us today. You as well, Jeremy. Anyways, let's dive into the numbers. The Bitcoin price at the time of recording is 22,580. Sats per dollar, we're at 4,429. Block height, 773,571. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 13,123. That number needs to go up. Buy yourself a Bitcoin node like the Noddle or build one yourself. It's the barrier to entry, guys, is not that high. It costs between $200 to $300 to buy, you know, the parts to run a dedicated computing device just for running the Bitcoin software. Be sovereign. Don't trust someone else, especially now that we have the technology where you can trust, minimize your sovereignty, man, your freedom. Anyways, the blocks of the halving is 66,429. The halving estimate is April 25th, 2024. The total Lightning capacity is 5,259. Capacity value to about $118 million. That number, it's crawling up. It's continuing to go up over $100 million. Beautiful to see. And my favorite stat here, even though it's the same stat every single day, but over time, if you guys see Simply Bitcoin, you know, 5 years from now, we're going to keep ridiculing that realized monetary inflation, because in Bitcoin, it's programmed to go down forever, specifically after the halvings or the halvenings, depending on how you say it. The market capitalization is $435 billion, in the grand scheme of things. Bitcoin is a tiny little baby. Anyways, everybody, we got a lot of crap yesterday when we were talking about democracy, and it was a hot topic, apparently. So what Nico did is he searched for some videos that covered this. And you guys have to, without getting into too much of the specifics, you guys have to understand this concept of something called the Overton window, right? So look it up if you don't know why that is. And then maybe you'll understand why we are approaching it the way that we are. Anyways, these aren't my words. These are Ayn Rand's words. And I'm playing this video for you guys today in honor of the spicy democracy conversation that we had yesterday. Let's check out the clip.
Feel about the political trends of the United States, the Western world.
The way everybody feels, except more consciously. I feel that it is terrible, that you see destruction all around you, and that you are moving toward disaster until and unless all those welfare state conceptions have been reversed and rejected. It is precisely these trends which are bringing the world to disaster, because we are now moving towards complete collectivism or socialism, a system under which everybody is enslaved to everybody. And we are moving that way only because of our altruist morality.
Ah, yes, but you say everybody is enslaved to everybody, yet this came about democratically. A free people in a free country voted for this kind of government, wanted this kind of legislation. Do you object to the democratic process?
I object to the idea that people have the right to vote on everything. The traditional American system was a system based on the idea that majority will prevailed only in public or political affairs, and that it was limited by inalienable individual rights. Therefore, I do not believe that a majority can vote a man's life or property or freedom away from him. Therefore, I do not believe that if a majority votes on any issue, that this makes the issue right. It doesn't.
All right. Then how do we arrive at action? How should we arrive at action?
By voluntary consent, voluntary cooperation of free men, unforced.
And how do our leaders how do we arrive at our leadership? Who elects? Who appoints?
The whole people elects. There is nothing wrong with the democratic process in politics. We arrive at it the way we arrived by the American Constitution as it used to be. By the constitutional process as we had it, people elect officials, but the powers of those officials, the powers of government, are strictly limited. They will have no right to initiate force or compulsion against any citizen except a criminal. Those who have initiated force will be punished by force, and that is the only proper function of government. What we would not permit is the government to initiate force against people who have hurt no one, who have not forced anyone. We would not give the government or the majority or any minority the right to take the life or the property of others.
So, and the crazy part about this video is that it was recorded in 1959. And back then you would have seen, you know, this lady is crazy. Like what is she talking about? Right. Fast forward, you know, to today, and you have the, what we call at Simply Bitcoin, the contillionaire class, or as Marty Bent puts it, the unproductive class, as Opti puts it, the high level parasites, as Nico puts it, the monetary demons. And fast forward, we are here, and they are literally saying the quiet part out loud. They have no shame. By the way, they ended up pulling down this article because of the amount of pushback, right? And this is the famous article, right, that says, well, quote, "Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better." What Bitcoiners would say to that is, hey, I own Bitcoin and I'm happy. And it's going to be very difficult for you to take away my private property, my property, through the tyranny of the majority. Right. Yesterday, a lot of people are like, Nico, I'm not fans of democracy. It's a scam. But you have to understand, guys, it's not that democracy is fundamentally broken. I would make the argument that the only alternative to democracy is, you know, is a dictatorship, right? I know some Bitcoiners are like, yeah, that's a good idea. I would like to make the case, though, that really, if we do want to separate the power out of these officials' hands, the answer to that is the separation of money and state. She also said something about altruism, right? You know who was an altruist? Sam Bankman-Fried, right? So it's interesting, right? You know, if you start to connect the dots and you pick up the pieces and you pick up the language, people seem to think that, hey, this is a unique time in history and things are different now and et cetera, et cetera. But you have to understand that human history tends to repeat it. It doesn't repeat, but it often rhymes. And I think that the solution to the corruption, the blatant corruption, the blatant theft by these democratically elected officials is due to them having the power of the money printer. Because if they have the power of the money printer, they're not incentivized to serve their constituents. They're incentivized to get as close as humanly possible to get to that money printer. Because think about it, you know, no one is better than their incentives, right? They're incentivized what? To enrich themselves. They're incentivized to accumulate more power. That is human nature, right? It's about fixing the incentives in the first place. And how do you fix the incentives? You separate the money from state. So if these elected officials get into power and they don't have access to this money printer, they don't have this privilege of being able to create money for free that everyone has to work for, the only way that these elected officials have the ability to raise money is by raising it through their constituents via direct taxation. Now, try to convince your elected base, we are raising the income tax to more than, you know, 70-80%, right, in order to fund a war in Ukraine, and you will literally have riots in the streets the next day because people are just like, yeah, that's not probably that. I don't agree to that. Right. So, yeah, again, this was a very heavy topic yesterday and I wanted to further explore it. I don't think that it's democracy itself that is an issue. I think it's that the incentives have been broken because of the money printer. Right. So what Bitcoiners always say, you fix the money, you fix the world. And I really fundamentally believe that. And Ayn Rand, holy crap, man. Do those videos, do her writings, right? Like Atlas Shrugged, I highly recommend it. You're going to absolutely love it because most Bitcoiners are libertarian, right? Definitely check out that book. Ladies and gentlemen, Satoshi is John Galt. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
I love the end. We do have a super chat here, Nico.
Thank you, Lazy Fame. Lazy Fame says, thank you for the super chat. Says the 13,000 nodes is a lie. The Bitnodes uses Bitcoin protocol version 70001. So nodes running an older protocol version will be skipped. The real number is currently 46,000 nodes. Check Luke Dash's charts. Absolutely bullish. Wow, horns for that, Opti. Horns, bro. Absolutely bullish. And this is what we love, Simply Bitcoin Live, because you guys could fact check us right on air and we will own it. We try to give you guys the most accurate information as possible, but we are human after all. We will make mistakes. Not to mention also that there is nodes that are running over Tor that are just listening nodes, right? They're not necessarily, you know, actively, you know, broadcasting transactions. They're just keeping an eye on the Bitcoin blockchain. So I'm sure that that number could, you know, that number goes up a little bit more as well. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Back to that, the video, you know, I think it's quite amazing how Ayn Rand's been painted in popular culture throughout time. Like if you separate like who she is, if you just heard these words, I think most people would completely agree with her. And I mean, she's saying everything that we're basically as Bitcoiners are saying today, and it doesn't seem that extreme. And I love how you brought it up in the beginning about like the Overton window. It's amazing how the Overton window has shifted so much in the last, like when was this video, like 60s or something? So in the
1959.
So the last, what, 70 years or whatever, like it's just crazy how far, I guess we've gone in the popular culture where these ideas don't seem that extreme. And I mean, all she's saying, and it's what Bitcoin promises all of us, is voluntary consent without force, without being forced by the government to do something that you don't want to do. Like, I think most people would agree with that. And this is why we all opt into Bitcoin. This is why Bitcoin is a permissionless network, because you take the free choice, the free will of your own, you know, still working brain to opt into Bitcoin, to save in Bitcoin. And this is a feature, not a bug. So, you know, I love that little video.
100%. And whoa, looks like Olu dropped his phone. Anyways, Jeremy, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, Bitcoin is the greatest thing to ever happen to mankind. The shackles of enslavement, fiat enslavement, basically are removed from the world unbeknownst to most of the world. And that's why platforms like Simply Bitcoin and other spaces, we are on Twitter Spaces 24 hours, literally talking about the freedom that Bitcoin gives to the world. And in Africa, I'm going to let Olu speak on this too, because he's on the ground in Africa, so to hear his input. But I mean, from what I've heard from the Africans that come to our space, whether it's Kenya, whether it's South Africa, Namibia, they understand Bitcoin better than the rest of the world. And that's partly why that we're over there trying to educate, because there's still a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt around Bitcoin, even everywhere. And I think that if we could actually teach those people in Africa, I think they will actually adopt it faster than any place in the world. Latin America is also a place where they're going to probably adopt pretty quick, but that's why we're in Africa. And that's why Olu has his Bitcoin only exchange over there. And that's why he's always doing education. So those are my thoughts, Nico.
100%. Now passing it on to Olu. Olu, man, unfortunately it looks like you dropped out for the video, but let's move the topic to what Jeremy was saying. How has Bitcoin empowered the Nigerian people, especially since you are on the ground? You're seeing this firsthand.
Thank you, guys. First of all, this is my first time of coming to this stream, so I don't even know how to use the application. I've been wondering. That's one. So I'm caught up some type of way. So pardon me. It's interesting over here. I'm not going to lie. The fact that I am on ground gives me first-hand experience like no other. This is the country that Satoshi Nakamoto created Bitcoin for, because we are the ones going through the true inflation, the true censorship is real. Like, censorship is real. So give me a minute. Let me bring the new Nigerian notes for you. So I show you what the new Nigerian notes looks like.
So while you do that, we're going to move on to the news, and we will talk about that during the culture segment. Oh man, I am so excited. Anyways, everybody, let's get to news. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So, man, I was so excited for Olo to show the new Nigerian notes, and I'm excited to trash that state currency. Fortunately, we are a live show and we are constrained with time, so we got to roll through it. Anyways, everybody, so let's talk about the Bitcoin hash rate, right? I mentioned this earlier right in the intro of the video, right? Bitcoin hash rate is an estimation of the amount of computational power actively mining actively mining Bitcoin, and you could also make the argument securing Bitcoin, right? This is the beauty of Bitcoin, is that it incentivizes you. It has co-opted human greed, right? It's incentivized human beings to protect itself. You can even make the argument that Bitcoin is a form of AI, man, in a way. Right. It's taken a life of its own. It ensures its own survival via the incentives that it gives human beings. Right. So here, if you guys are watching, for our audio listeners, I'll go through the numbers. Right. This was the infamous China ban that coincidentally happened in the middle of the last bull market. I was making the case that this could have been the reason that the last bull market was cut short. The Bitcoin hash rate fell from 197 exahashes, and it fell all the way down to 68 exahashes, right? So it's like more than a 50% drop. And by Bitcoin's incentives alone, not only did they not kill Bitcoin, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, the Bitcoin hash rate decentralized all around the world. A lot of that hash rate migrated to the great free state of Texas, right? And not only, and it surpassed the previous all-time high of the hash rate, and it continues to make all-time highs. Now, for all our altcoin friends, our shitcoin friends, let's compare and contrast, shall we? ETH is not really a fair comparison because they did migrate to proof of stake, but even before they migrated to proof of stake, see that little tiny red line all the way in the bottom? That's Ethereum's hash rate. All right, so let's take a look at XRP. I don't even know if XRP has a hash rate. But let's take a look at Doge. Yep, it's that little red line, that real red line in the bottom. But my favorite to trash on are the Bitcoin forks. So we have Bitcoin Cash, also that little red line all the way in the bottom. Currently, the Bitcoin Cash hash rate is at 1.57 exahashes compared to Bitcoin's 267 exahash hash rate. And let's take a look at BSV. Also, totally destroyed. It's not even one exahash. So, Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin SV, wrecked. Roger Ver, wrecked. CSW, wrecked. Not only wrecked, he's been called a liar three times by three separate judges in three separate jurisdictions. Those are Florida, the UK, and Norway. Shout out the Space Cat. Shout out Hodlnot. Guys, check out Citadel 21. They're awesome. So let's check out the news for today. Crypto infrastructure firm Blockstream No. It's not a crypto infrastructure firm. It's a Bitcoin infrastructure firm. But CoinDesk, hey, you know, it is what it is. So, so Bitcoin infrastructure firm Blockstream raises $125 million for Bitcoin mining. So keep that in mind. They just raised that money for Bitcoin mining, and the Bitcoin hash rate is already an all-time high. So what does that tell you the Bitcoin hash rate is going to do heading into the future? And that means the theoretical security of Bitcoin improves. It continues to go higher, meaning the value proposition of Bitcoin continues to go higher. Do you think that Blockstream would have been able to raise $125 million if the smart money was not bullish on Bitcoin's future? So let's get into a little bit of the details. And shout out to Adam Back. You guys are awesome. And also, they're a sponsor of the show. We love the Jade. Anyways, crypto infrastructure company Blockstream raised $125 million in convertible notes and secured loan financing to expand its Bitcoin mining hosting services. The company, which raised $210 million in August at a valuation of $3.2 billion, said in a press release Tuesday it will use the proceeds from the new capital to expand its mining facilities to meet strong demands. Keyword there, that's the signal. There's strong demand even after the Bitcoin price has plummeted 70%. I think it was like 75% the all-time low. People are still interested in Bitcoin mining. And it is a very, very difficult time to be a Bitcoin miner nowadays, right? Because your profitability has fallen off a cliff. But it seems to me, well, look at it's, you know, the proof is in the pudding, right? There is still strong demand for large-scale hosting services. According to the statement, hosting has remained a resilient market segment as compared with prop miners who have been more directly exposed to Bitcoin's price volatility and compressed margins. Blockstream's new funding round didn't mention the valuation of the company. However, December 7th, Bloomberg reported the company is seeking to raise funds at least 70% lower valuation than its previous round, under $1 billion. Makes sense with the price of Bitcoin where it's at. Hosting is a service that data centers provide to crypto miners so customers can store their mining rigs and mine digital assets for a fee. So if you happen to live in a location that has high electricity prices, you could still partake in Bitcoin miners by using, keyword here, a trusted hoster. Also, very, very bullish news as well. America's first nuclear-powered Bitcoin mining center to open in Pennsylvania, right? What about all that BS that, you know, Bitcoin mining is bad for the environment? Nuclear energy happens to be some of the cleanest form of energy. And looks like Bitcoin, once again, is taking advantage of stranded energy, right? Bitcoin mining gives value to energy that would have gone to waste normally, right? No other thing, no other asset, no other technology provides that. Anyways, with the expansion, by the way, this is a tremendous opportunity for Africa, where there's tons of pockets of isolated energy that normally would have had no value. Bitcoin gives them value. Jack Dorsey at the Africa Bitcoin Conference, he announced that he was investing $2 million into a company called Grid. Forgive me if I messed up the name, that is doing just that. Anyways, let's check out some of this article. With the expansion of the cryptocurrency sector, mining Bitcoin is becoming increasingly mainstream, and the construction of the first nuclear-powered data center in the United States that is expected to host Bitcoin mining services has recently been completed. Indeed, a zero-carbon data center manufactured Colmus Data, a subsidiary of independent power producer Talon Energy, has completed the power shell for its first data center powered by a 2.5 gigawatt nuclear powered station. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Bitcoin is now powered by nuclear energy, which I think is absolutely badass AF. Anyways, everybody, I don't want to spend too much time on the news because I want to take advantage of our guests to talk about Bitcoin adoption in Africa. So, gentlemen, do you have any quick takes on this? Opti, I'll start with you.
Well, I remember last year, excuse me, I was asking, when are we going to hook up Bitcoin miners to nukes? And here we are, bullish AF, you know, as people in the know that nuclear energy is the greenest energy in the world. And I just can't wait to see this happen in more areas. Like, this is awesome. And then, you know, also, of course, shouts out to Blockstream. You know, Bitcoiners building in the bear market. So smart money still investing in Bitcoin infrastructure. Love to see it and just can't wait to see this also spread out and see how this affects the market in this bull run, the inevitable bull run.
The inevitable. Bitcoin is inevitable. Anyways, Olu, what are your thoughts on this, man? Specifically about Africa and Bitcoin mining. Man, so many opportunities could potential opportunities in that continent.
I mean, I love. I wanted to show you guys as much as it is. It's useless. It makes no sense. This is about 40,000 naira. If I had $40,000, it's a lot of money. But although this is people's minimum wage that I'm holding right here, and I'm just gonna buy a bottle of drink with it. So sad. I mean, if this were 2 Bitcoin, it would have been fun. I'm sorry. I love my country, Nigeria. But look at this. This is the new paper money. It makes no sense. Like. So that's why Africa is rising with Bitcoin, my brothers. What we are doing with Satoshi's Journal, the Bitcoin Village, is only giving hope to the hopeless. It's 21-22% inflation today. No access to good infrastructure, poor electricity system. We're trying to go green energy, net zero emission by 2060. Government is raising billions of dollars. They care less about the ordinary people. And that's why I love Bitcoin, right? It incentivizes the energy that you generate. So at the Bitcoin Village in Itomo, where we are building the first ever Bitcoin education center, every less privileged individual over there is excited about what miners can do for them. It's very close to the Lagos Lagoon, where the Fort Minam Bridge is being built, and there is a lot of hope. You know, I hear people every day, so if I have the miner attached to my house, I can generate wealth. Yes, you can generate wealth. So are you very, very sure that Bitcoin can give me freedom? You see the curiosity in the heart of a poor Nigerian who the Naira has done nothing to their life. Look, this 40,000 Naira that I have right here can't even rent you an apartment. You cannot rent an apartment. You can buy a bottle of Hennessy with this money. I mean, like, and only rich people have access to this money. I'm not even playing. Like, it's very sad, my people. You see, this is brand new note. The poor man on the street don't have access to it. It's the new money that they just printed. So you have to know the bank manager to have access to this paper money. This new one, this new Nigerian recolored money. Recolored, it's not redesigned. And that's what Bitcoin is doing. Bitcoin is not recoloring or redesigning. No, Bitcoin is basically telling us that, look, politics can be better, infrastructure can be better, better households when it comes to transaction. Today, if I transact with Bitcoin, it's P2P. If I transact with Naira, it's problems. Because before I send money to my brother in Kenya, the money have to be routed in United States or in Canada before it gets to Kenya. But if I send money, or Jeremy send money to me, or I send money back to the US to Jeremy or anybody, it's P2P. Using Bitcoin. So this is what we want as ordinary people in Nigeria. We want a situation whereby with the money that we have, everything will be sincere. The sincerity of purpose is not there with fiat paper money in Nigeria. I love my country. We just innovated the e-naira. But less than 0.5% of our 220 million population have adopted the e-naira. What the F? That's the same money that could have just been airdropped to everybody. But this... In the first, they print this so much, they don't give us access to it because we're not in the printing room. And then the air money, the CBDC, that they could have just airdropped ₦1 million to all Nigerians and make us rich. Since it's money from thin air, they're still hoarding the money. Like what? Like this money discriminates against we Nigerians. This same Naira, whether it is paper or e-Naira. And then the e-naira will not be interoperable with Bitcoin. And it's the beginning of the end of the e-naira itself. Because if you can't give people freedom with e-naira, given that e-naira is surveillance of the highest order, you will still tax me. I will still go through MasterCard, Visa card. My money will still be routed in Canada because I want to send money to my brother in Ghana. Then why are you innovating new money? Why don't you allow Bitcoin prevail in our country? Because you cannot stop Bitcoin transactions. Maybe you will try to
regulates the exchanges. I own a Bitcoin-only exchange, and I know that all I have to do is to make sure that I fly out of Nigeria. My exchange will continue to sell to Nigerians. So I tell everybody in Nigeria, look, let's come together. Let's keep advocating for this purpose, and which is why myself and Jeremy have said, look, whether we like it or not, whether we have a Nayib Bukele helping us from the top back down, we obviously don't have that, so we have to come from down up. We must know that we are taking a risk, and this school would be a monumental structure that 50, 70, 100 years from now, when we are no more, since it's on a private property, the school will be there breeding Bitcoiners every day, whether it is theoretically, whether it is practically. We have Nigerians that cannot speak English, but they can repair miners. Place to be the hub of miners. There's so many Nigerians that can repair iPhone. They've never worked at Apple before. That's what it means. We've got a situation whereby the Igbo, Hausa, Yoruba man can use their screwdriver to repair a miner. I don't have to send my ASICs to China. I want my ASICs to be repaired here at the Bitcoin Village, powered by Satoshi Journal and all the plebs all over. I want to make sure the Bitcoin Village school graduates as tutored Bitcoiners, and then they will feature on Simply Bitcoin TV and say, oh, back in 2023, I attended a Bitcoin Village school powered by Satoshi Journal, and this is 2025, 2027. I am on world-class Simply Bitcoin TV, and now I'm a wealthy Bitcoiner. That's the type of life we want for the poorest of the poorest people in Nigeria. We don't want a situation whereby we are going to be lining up in front of Central Bank and carrying placards and say, oh, stop inflation. We don't give a fuck about their inflation. We are already impoverished by inflation. We are choked up by inflation in Nigeria, by everything they do, everything that they do. So I believe that the Nigerian Bitcoin Conference coming up in March 2014, organized by Satoshi Journal, which the first day we happen at the school. Guess what, guys? The school is not being built in a luxury area. It's being built amidst the poor. That's why you know that we have the sincerity of purpose. Guys, can you believe we have a 1 acre piece of land, right? That's what you can see behind Jeremy. That's what you can see behind me. Although I'm too black, so I'm covering every color that you can see. We want a situation whereby you guys can come to Nigeria, like, you all go to El Zonte, El Salvador, and come to the Bitcoin Village and teach life in the board. Like, teach Africans what is Bitcoin. I want the children, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, reciting, Bitcoin is not paper money. Bitcoin is not paper money. Bitcoin gives you freedom. Bitcoin gives you freedom. That's how Africans learn. We learn like it's there won't be another opportunity tomorrow. So this never been done before in the history of our country. And people think we are stupid. They say, oh, look at these guys. They could have used the money to build a hotel or an Airbnb and they cash out. Well, they're building a school. How are they going to maintain the school for the next 10 years? I'm sure Jeremy will say, don't worry. The plebs will fund us. When we are tired, when Olu is broke and Jeremy is broke and they don't want to touch their Bitcoin no more, the plebs will take over. If I die today, if anything happens to me, I guarantee plebs will fly from different places and say, yo, this property doesn't belong to Nigerian government. It belongs to Bitcoiners. And that's what we want. We want a situation whereby you guys can come here and you have a home for real to teach. It's not a place to play. It's a place to teach proper, modern day, original, unadulterated, unfiltered Bitcoin education. And now, lastly, we don't have problems with the government, because whether the government likes it or not, Bitcoin will do its work. We want a situation whereby Nigeria will not come last. We don't want to be behind El Salvador. We want to be side by side El Salvador. We don't want to be controlled by our colonial masters and they will end up acquiring more Bitcoin than us. We also want to be at the forefront. So I plead with plebs all over the world, do not leave this country, Nigeria. We do not know what we are doing as a government. Only the people of Nigeria are good. Yes, we have negative branding out there because of bad politicians and a few Nigerians doing scam. But 220 million people, 80% are young people with the sincerity of purpose, with the will.
Man, whatever.
We'll get him back in.
It seems like we lost Olu a little bit, but this is a perfect time. Let's get to the culture, man. Let's continue this conversation. That was the culture. That was an incredible rant by Olu. Holy cow. And there's one thing that he said that stuck with me, is that Satoshi created Bitcoin for countries like Nigeria. And I completely agree, man. And I see hope I see hope there, man. That's what I see. I see hope. I see, you know, hope for a better future, but before there was none. Like, you saw the stacks of that worthless paper money. By the way, we reported the other day, they're actually even discontinuing the ability for Nigerians to withdraw money from their bank accounts in the first place. But there you go. You see what that was. You see what that holds. That is the hope of Bitcoin. And people like Christine Lagarde and people, the central bankers that are bashing Bitcoin, they say Bitcoin has no value. They think Bitcoin, you know, is used for illegal purposes. There you go. That is what Bitcoin is for. And if you're against Bitcoin, you're against that. That is what you are.
Against Bitcoin, you're against freedom.
That is exactly. That is what you're against. You're against people like Olu, and you're against the Nigerian people finding hope in a better future where there's no other alternative. And that is completely different than the conversation that we are having in the, you know, countries that have financial privilege, where we have many options of different financial rails, different options, PayPal, Venmo, in order to transact. We have relatively stable fiat currencies. If you live in a country with double digit inflation, Bitcoin is not just an option. It's the only alternative that you have. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. Let's do this.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, everybody, before we move on to the culture and get back Olu, man, we got to get him back on the soapbox. Holy cow. He was going ham, but Definitely. Pure signal. You see that. You feel it. Anyways, everybody, before we get to that, I want to give a shout out to BitBlock Boom. It's going to be the biggest Bitcoin conference in Austin, Texas, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th. It's not a shitcoin or NFT event. It's a Bitcoin event. You can take advantage of the promo code, all caps, simply Bitcoin, get a big discount. Also, check out Unconfiscatable December 7th through the 8th, 2023 in Las Vegas, Nevada at the D Hotel. It's also going to be a poker tournament. Speaker list includes Tone Bays, Jimmy Son, Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Greg Foss, and many, many more. You could also take advantage of the promo code SIMPLY10 and get a big discount to Unconfiscatable. Anyways, I want to continue this awesome conversation that we're having. Olu, I'm going to give you the floor, man. You were going absolutely crazy. I have a couple questions for you, my friend. So we have the recent news that the Nigerian government is going to stop, or at least try to stop, the ability for Nigerians to even hold cash in the first place because they want people to use central bank digital currencies. What are your thoughts on that?
Hold on. I think you're muted, bro.
Give us everybody. Seems like we're having a little bit of some technical difficulties. Anyways, Jeremy, what are your thoughts, man? I know that you've been working clearly close together with Olu. So what are your thoughts on the Nigerian government's attempt to at least stop people? Because it looks like their CBDC is not popular. It's not taken off. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so pardon the connection issues in Nigeria and Africa abroad. There always are connection issues, so we're sorry about that. But Olu will probably be back online here soon. My thoughts are that it's not going to work. It's not already working. The people have rejected it. It's an effort in futility, and they can try to do as much as they want, the government, to try to get their people to adopt the e-Naira, whether it's incentivizing them or disincentivizing them by putting encumbrances in front of them. But it is not working. And I think it's a sign of things to come for the rest of the world. All the countries that decide to introduce their respective CBDC outside of China, because they're a whole different story. By force, they cause their people to do it. But the people of Africa are very, very smart. People in Latin America are very, very smart. They're just going to see the writing on the wall. They've been screwed over by their governments for generations and generations. And they're not fools, so they're not gonna the CBDCs are not gonna work. Those are my thoughts. And we're already seeing it in Nigeria.
Absolutely. Olu, are you back? Can we hear you?
No, I don't know.
I think he's frozen now.
We got a good rant out of Olu. We got a good rant out of Olu.
We'll have to sign off and come back in. We'll hopefully get you one more time. But in the meantime, Jeremy, why don't you tell our followers and our listeners out there what exactly is Satoshi's Journal? I think Olu kind of touched on it in the beginning, but let's plug Satoshi's Journal and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Sorry I didn't say that at the beginning, but thank you so much for the opportunity. So I love writing. I wrote for Bitcoin Magazine. I think I did 8 articles, wrote for them for about a year. And in working with them, I just thought to myself that I could do something similar but different. So the Satoshi Journal is a news education and media platform based out of Lagos, Nigeria, with the sole intent to orange pill the world. That's our mission statement. And we pay our writers. So that's one difference between us and other media companies. If you want to write your Bitcoin story or you want to basically write anything about Bitcoin, we'll pay you 25,000 Satoshis for your first article, and then every successive article, 10,000 Satoshis. That was one thing that I wanted as a writer. I didn't get paid for any of my articles. And I just think it's important that content creators get paid with sats. And we're working on some other integrations on our platform to allow content creators, not only writers, but also artists. You'll see that coming up probably this year, where we're going to allow our artists and writers to be tipped in Bitcoin after we integrate Lightning into our website. So that's been a long time in the coming, and we're excited. So Satoshi's Journal came from my passion for writing. I have a great team. Our success is a function of my teammates. I have team members all over around the world. We're a very diverse group. Olu, of course, is from Nigeria. I have a lady named Saida Gomez from Switzerland. DJ Satoshi, most people know him. Lives in the States. Phil, Needs Creations, he's a real good guy. So shout out to all my teammates out there listening. Thank you for all the work you've done. And then Satoshi's Journal has a nonprofit. Our nonprofit is fixthemoneyfixtheworld.net. That's the website. And that's actually what's building our village. So when I met Olu, we actually started a nonprofit before the Satoshi.
Could you talk a little bit about the village? What is the village? What is this?
And it sounds like Olu's audio is back. So
yes, I am back. Can you guys hear
me? We are back. We are back. The party is back.
It's the spirit of the Nigerian government. They don't want me to speak the truth. So look, the village is a very nice place. You know, when you are able to stop for underprivileged people and appreciate you, just look at the wonderful edifice we are going to be putting up right there. 1 acre, 5 different structures, swimming pool, basketball court, football field. You know, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be beautiful. A place where there is no power, there is no electricity, current U.S. embassy, 30 minutes to all the flyest 5-star, 4-star hotel, all the wealthiest people, they don't have power. They don't have power. They have never, ever seen electricity. That's how bad it is in Nigeria. How can you have a place that's over the waterways, is just 4 minutes to a jetty that was built with more than $5 million, $10 million, according to the government budget, but still there is no electricity there? So sad. They have a Paramount King who is very nice, who loves what we are doing. And there are about 20,000 people scantily living around the village. The fun thing is the 1 acre is positioned rightly to become a very, very valuable real estate for this Bitcoin project because of the 4 million bridge Nigerian government is building. It's just by the side. It's going to be passing through the side of this village. And in this village, we are going to be buying the Bitcoin development center that you're seeing behind me, Bitcoin Village, with solar. We are naming the streets. Jeremy, should I tell them what we are naming the street? We might be naming it Bitcoin Village Street, or we name it Satoshi Nakamoto. It's so beautiful. We own like practically lots of over there. Space to mine, space to engage in agriculture, and rare animals, plant our own food and all of that. I want a situation whereby anybody that has been to El Zonte or have never been to a circular Bitcoin economy will come to Nigeria, leave all the luxury and come to this village and help encourage adoption. The fact that this village, many of the houses don't have clean water, and the Bitcoin Village School that is not even complete yet has provided clean water alone, makes me kind of fulfilled. We are not modifying anything, my brothers. We are building from ground up. Myself and Jeremy, we cleared the bush. It was a bush. Go back to the Bitcoin Village at Village Bitcoin on Twitter and check. It was a bush. We used drone to check it all out. We cleared the bush and look at the construction site. We don't even have a full construction site going on, thing going on. Like if Jeremy is on his site, you will see him with his helmet, with his
beautiful. Looks like we lost.
Before we go, remember we brought Bragnar on as well. Oh, here we go. Coming back in. No lies detected, according to our friend Ragnar as well. So that's what he said right now on Twitter Spaces.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And we're going to try to get Olu back on again.
Hey, Olu, jump on Twitter Spaces afterwards, and we'll continue this conversation. If you can hear me. Jeremy, also as well. We'll continue this off air.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Let's get to the meme review. Let's do this.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom Racks.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. All right, guys, so you already know, this is the meme review. This is your guys' favorite portion of the show. As we say all the time, tweet to the bullets, memes are the artillery. You guys are in the front lines of this information war. Continue to spread the signal. Man, I super bullish. This is absolutely awesome. So let's just get through these meme reviews. Drop your meme review score in the chat, and we will cover it live as we roll this one out. So this first one is by Steven Lubka. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his at name, but he's got this, he's quote tweeting Enlil or Enlil, and he goes, never met a critic who could coherently explain difficulty adjustment. And Steven goes, I can explain the difficulty adjustment with one simple image. And we got the crying girlfriend meme, and goes, please just issue more coins. I have so much hash rate, mining demand in hash. And the Chad Bitcoiner, the Chad difficulty adjustment just goes, no, this is the way. This next one, shouts out to @future_hodl. And he goes, quote, going all in on Bitcoin isn't putting all your eggs in one basket. It's buying the chicken. And we got this chicken with laser eyes and the Bitcoin logo tatted on the side of the chicken. Absolutely love this meme because we hear it all the time in regards to, you know, my investment thesis and diversify my shitcoin portfolio. But no, we go all in on Bitcoin. Bitcoin only. This is the way. This next one by @BitcoinShaolin. He goes, keep pushing Bitcoin, plebs. We got this. And we got a top picture like Apocalypto. What central bank see? And then we got, I forget what movie this one is, but one of these superhero movies that it's like the villain superhero movies. What we see, and then what history will see. And it is monks beating up on the tyrants and the status authoritarians out there with the Bitcoin logo on its chest. This next one, this is Wall Street Silver. They still don't get how to solve the issue. They need to push people towards self-custody. What are you guys doing out there, Wall Street Silver? But anyways, I digress. I still like this meme right here, and it's a quote from Ron Paul with $100 bills in the background off the printing press. And it says, if printing money created wealth, there would be no poverty left on earth. And man, we had Olu on here today with all that new printed money in Nigeria, and couldn't have hit harder. This last one, shouts out to Biddy Cent 21. And this is a DCA meme, so obviously I got to add it. And we got Dorian Nakamoto, aka what everyone uses for Satoshi, with the Thug Life glasses on. It goes, bull run equal wish you bought earlier. The bear run equals wish you bought later. DCA equals you already did.
Boom.
Are you winning, son? Yes, I am winning, son. All right, guys. So drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover our own, and we'll cover it, and we'll roll this one out.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it. Opti, you ready?
I am ready.
I'm going to rip a Venezuelan bolivar.
Wow.
On caca. Dude, I think that's like, it's worthless at this point.
Dude, you just went full Max Kaiser on us.
20 bolivares, bro. 20 bolivares. Wow. Like nothing. Anyways, Opti, what are you going to give it?
Okay. I've been fidgeting with this all day. It is this 3D printed cipher safe Rubik's Cube fidget spinner that I've been messing with that I got at, I think it was BitBlock Boom. I just found it in all my knickknacks. So let's go.
Looks like we lost Jeremy. Anyways, guys, before we read the live chat, while you guys do it, check out representltd.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. They're dropping Simply Bitcoin merch as well. It's exclusive. There's a limited drop. The black hoodies, the B17 dropping peaceful bombs. That even makes sense. That's already sold out. Get the truth bombs. That's right. Get your Simply Bitcoin merch today, and you can take advantage of the promo code simply-bitcoin. Go to representltd.com. All right, Opti, let's get through some scores. Nihilus Fields, the polar opposite of Opti, says score running Bitcoin issued by Anon named AIC. Love that. Next one, Opti, we got Elaine. Shout out, Elaine. I give those memes Olu's awesome rant and love of Bitcoin. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Next one, we got Jasmina. I can never say it right. Nico can't pronounce things. I give the memes a raging honey badger. Oof, I wish I had a video to play that. Igor, I give those memes a NWA boy. I like it. Next one, by the P-Man Van, I give the memes a pair of perfect shorts. Okay.
What's the brand?
Planet Earth gives it. I give these memes a Chad Sailor. It's going up forever, Laura.
Oh, wait. I think I got it in here, but we'll keep going. We'll keep going.
Next one. Diogenes, I give the memes, dude, no. Two to the power of 160.
It's going up forever, Laura.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And we are out of time. Last one. Frank Arn, I give the memes all the beers I want to have with Jedi Master Olu. Yeah, absolutely. Amen to that. Opti, do we have a software or pleb site?
Software.
Let's do it.
Bitcoin software release.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel, and there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, guys. So today's software release is LN Bits version 0.9.6.1, named Fusion 45. Go check out LN Bits, free and open source Lightning wallet account system that you can easily use with your own node. It's got a lot of releases and a lot of cool stuff that they're added to this. This is one of the cool projects out there. If you don't have a Lightning node yet, if you want to get a point of sale service going out, a physical point of sale service, if you want a Bitcoin wallet, go check out LN Bits. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with LN Bits. And then, of course, guys, we are in audio only form on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, and we are a part of the Value for Value economy on Fountain. So I will cover the comments and the streams on Friday's show. But man, what an epic rip. And guys, I have Jeremy and Olu in the Twitter spaces. So come join us there afterwards, and we'll continue this conversation, and we'll get some epic rants over there as well. So little sneak peek of what we're going to be talking about.
Boom, boom. Anyways, everybody, that was another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. If you feel like this show provided you some value, please consider subscribing. And number one thing you could do to push the peaceful revolution forward is share this video. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. We got to spread the signal. And remember, guys, if you're against Bitcoin, you're against what Alu just said. You see the hope in that. Remember, 60% of the world does not have the privilege that we have in the developed world with stable fiat currencies and developed financial rails. And Bitcoin, you heard Alu say it himself, Bitcoin is for those people. And how is that not the most equitable, equal money the world has ever seen? And if anyone tells you otherwise, share them this video. Let's see what Christine Lagarde has to say about that. She's got nothing to say. Anyways, guys, we love you all. The party continues all the way to 2 p.m., about 4 p.m., about 45 minutes. We're live on Twitter Spaces with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin. Best place to stack sats, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. Shout out for producer Jacob also holding it down like always. Love you all, and we will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.